Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Opening Perspective, the show is all about you. You and developing an embodied experience of expansion that allows you to know whether or not you are on track and in alignment in your life and following your desires, or with the contraction in the body letting you know whether you're off track, not in alignment, and not moving forward with the focus and attention in your life. My name is Zenda Brooke, and this is our weekly show. I'm excited to be here. I want to thank everybody that is tuned in and listening and downloading the program, and for all of the questions that have come through this week through internet and through our email. I have been so appreciative of the response to the show, the questions that are being asked. The foundation of the show comes from what I call the internal guidance system. This is some work that I have been engaged in and working with now for the past 6 years. To find out more about this work, you can go to internalguidancesystem.com. And there we have, excitingly enough, we have the development of a video that will give you the experience and the expression. Oh, one of my technical people just let me know that I have an echo going on, so I wanted to find out if there's an issue. Let me know. You can reach me through the chat, and we've had some technical difficulties that we're actually working out with Blog Talk Radio right now. So if there is an issue going on, you can find us in the chat room, and that'll allow you to let me know what's happening. Okay, so if you want to find out more about the internal guidance system, which is what the basis of the program that we're talking about revolves around, you can go to internalguidancesystem.com, and there you'll find an experiential video that will give you a first-hand understanding of what I'm talking about. But the basis of this work is that in any given moment in your body, there is an expansion of energy happening between the throat and the stomach area, or a contraction of energy that is occurring. Now, this energy expansion and contraction is directly related to your thoughts. And that in itself is an interesting place to be. Because if it is our minds that are creating this expansion and contraction in our bodies, and if we can move forward with thoughts that expand, relax, open our bodies, then we can begin to alleviate stress, anxiety, worry, and fear. Now, the interesting thing that I want to talk about today is fear. The main focus of this show today is going to revolve around the expression of fear in our bodies and what we can do to alleviate it and even rid ourselves of fear altogether. Not permanently, forever, because there's going to be a consistency in your life where fear will arise. But I want to talk a little bit more about what fear is. We're going to open up the phone lines here in about 15 to 20 minutes. Let me go ahead and get you that phone number so that you can be ready to call in with questions, comments, or concerns. The guest call-in number is 646-378-1741. That number again is 646-378-1741. Now, what is fear? And how can fear possibly be opening? I've been talking to a lot of people in the past couple of weeks. I take on private coaching and private clients. And there's a lot of concern about what's happening in our politics, with our economy, with what's happening and where our planet will be for our children, with our own personal futures and what's possible. So in examining fear, what I have found, which is quite exciting actually, is that fear is desire in the body that's going unexpressed. I'm going to say that again, and then we're going to talk about what that means. Fear is desire in your body that is going unexpressed. So, I've talked the last couple of weeks in the radio program about this expansion in the body and this contraction in the body and how it's related to our desires and our passions. When we have a desire that opens us, that expands, creates a lightness feeling in our body, that is a desire that we are to be moving forward on. It's actually leading us into our divine purpose. However, when we have thoughts or desires that collapse or close us in the central area of our body, we are not in alignment. It's moving us away from our intended purpose and our destiny. Well, there's a couple of kinds of fear. Of course, there's a fight or flight fear, the fear of what to do in a primal situation, the kind of fear that arises when you get into a car accident or you're in a dark alley and you can't see around the corner and you get this sensation like something's about to happen. So there's another kind of fear, which is that constant gnawing sensation, that tightening in the pit of the stomach, that pressure on the chest as you think about the future or what's happening, as you think about whether or not you're going to be able to get married in time to have children for some women who are getting to that place, as you think about not having enough money from the work that you do to be able to sustainably support yourself. So that fear is when we actually have a desire that arises in our bodies, and that desire is not expressed by you as something that you stand for in the world. We're going to give you a practice to work with this. But what I mean by stand for is we often take our desires that we have, take our dreams, take our visions of our future, and we stuff them, deny them, and don't allow them to exist in their fullness. Oh, I can't do that. I couldn't possibly have that. I don't have the resources. And in that, what I'm finding is that stuffing of desire that expands us actually turns into fear in the body. It actually turns into this constant kind of fretting that's occurring. Now, what do we do with that? This is the practice that I want to share with you. Because fear is debilitating. One of the biggest reasons why I would like to have you start off in this opening perspective is because fear limits you. Fear restricts you. Fear stops you from moving forward on your path. One of the largest things that people face in their lives that stops them from following their dreams and exploring solutions, actual real-life solutions, is fear that it's not going to work out, fear to take a risk, fear to follow those desires. And that's crucial because as we're talking and speaking here, it is in those desires that open you that you're being led to your perfect symbiotic place in the world. Amongst the rest of us, we need you to be following the desires that open. We need you to be following your dreams. Without you following your dreams, you're not presenting the perfect piece that one of us may need on our path. Just like in nature, in the way that all of nature fits together perfectly, where this creature, you know, supports this other creature, and you know, you look in the ocean and you got the feeder fish that swim alongside and keep the gook off of the whales and the sharks, and without those feeder fish, there'd be bacteria. We all have our own place. And if we're not doing what is our intended purpose, we're actually hindering a piece of the puzzle for others. And one of the main things that cause this is fear in our lives. So this is the practice that I'd like to share with you. It does take a piece of paper and pencil, and you don't have to do it right now, but I do recommend that you write it down. It does not work effectively without it being written down. What we're going to do is we're going to take the fear that you have, and we want to write one fear down, one that really concerns you. It could be something like not having enough money for retirement, not being able to put your kids through college. It could be about your health, your body. anything in particular that really is something that keeps you in a loop inside your own mind, and that is literally showing up in your body as that contracted feeling, that anxiety feeling that's you know, in your life. You write that fear down, and what we're going to do is we're going to go and get to the bottom of that fear. And what that looks like is, as you state the fear, you then ask yourself, well, then what would happen if that occurred? And you write the next thing. So I'm afraid that I'm not going to have enough money for my retirement. Take that one. It's a very common one right now with all the ups and downs our economy has been through over the last 10 years and the way that our economy appears to be going now. I'm concerned that I will not have enough money for retirement. What would happen if that occurred? Well, then I may need to rely upon my children or the government to support me. Well, what would happen if that happened? Well, then it's quite possible that my dignity would be compromised, that I wouldn't have control over my life, that someone else would be making decisions for me because my financial stability would not be taken into account. Their financial stability would be the number one issue. Okay, that's just an example. What would happen then? Well, if my dignity is compromised and I don't have power over my own life financially, then I might feel ashamed. I might feel so, it might be so painful that I don't want to be here anymore. And what would happen if you don't want to be here anymore? Well, then I probably wouldn't want to live. I literally wouldn't want to live. And what would happen if you don't want to live? Well, that's the worst thing I can think of. That's getting to the bottom of the fear. Most often, getting to the bottom of the fear revolves around death, not wanting to be here, dire unhappiness. And when we get to that fear, we get to the bottom, and that is the worst thing that could happen, which is what I want you to be focused on, getting to the place where it's like, well, there's just nothing else. There's just nothing I can think of that's worse. This is a rare opportunity. Most of us don't go this far with our fears. And there's good reason. The deeper you get into the fear, the more realistic you are about how much pain these thoughts would cause you. But we feel that we'll become paralyzed by the fear. But actually what happens is when you get down to the core priority that fear and most of our fears are revolving around, then you can do something about it, because then you can express the desire that's coming from that core fear. In the case of what we just went through in that little lineage there, what we find is that the core desire is you turn the last statement around. And what you're going to do is you're going to work your way back up the ladder of fear. And turning it around is, I want to live. The core desire that's being unexpressed in this particular fear is, I want to live. The next one above that is, I want to live with dignity and with choice. The next one up is, I want to be able to support myself. The next one up is, I want to have an amazing retirement. Now, as you move through this, you'll physically feel in your body an expansion that occurs that feels like weight is being lifted from you. As you do this practice with each of your fears, what you'll find is that you quickly come into a reality of what's truly important to you that you're able to focus on. Now, this is the interesting thing. When you put in what you're able to focus on most, I want to live with dignity, I want to live with financial power so that I can make incredible choices in my life, so that I lead a good life and I'm not having anyone else that is responsible for me but me. You can actually feel the energy expanding, and that desire is being expressed, because in our lives, what we focus on, where we put our attention, is what we draw to us. You know, energy flows where attention goes. all of the projects on the planet, all of the projects on the planet have taken people focusing on them, putting their energy and expressing in the world what they want to have happen. You don't have, these things don't get created in secret. Things get created by people stating, this is what I desire. And then from that focus and statement of what they desire to have happen in the world, what occurs is that expression can begin to make manifest and begin to happen. Well, as we deny the desires that we have in our lives and we put our focus on what we can't have, it is powerful to be able to express desire instead of fear. And in expressing the desire instead of fear, we are able to begin to move towards that desire being enacted, and the fear physically leaves our body. I have had more clients, we call it being empty of fear. People that have been in fear for years, people that have wake up in the middle of the night with small panic attacks occurring. Right? I mean, have you ever had that experience? Where you wake up in the middle of the night and you're just seized with thoughts that you can't get out of your head about the future or the past? There's such a deep level of power in your body that's actually going in the opposite direction of what you desire that it's painful and frightening. It's some of the most lonely experiences that we can have as humans, being locked within our fearful mindset. And I just want to let you know that you can become empty of fear. So, fear is desire that has gone unexpressed, and it shows up in the body. Now, this is some little other piece that I want to give you that I'm looking at in my life. This expansion and contraction I have found is actually what I consider to be divine source energy. In our physical source of who we are, on a long-term, much bigger scale than our personalities and our lives and our egos are revealing at this time. And that is really exciting, because if our desires are the expanded source energy inside of us, source of all beingness, God, creator, whatever you want to call it, and that source is leading us through this expansion and through our desires that open us, it's consistently leading us towards alignment with light, higher purpose, creator, God, whatever's right for you, then that would mean that by not asking source energy, this powerful energy inside of us, for what we desire, it turns into fear, because we're stepping away from our source of energy. We're stepping away from our highest purpose. We're stepping away from our connection to God, to Creator. And it's been said by many spiritual teachers that divine energy never leaves us. God never leaves us. We leave it. We leave it. We walk away from God. Here's an opening expression. This can be a practice, releasing yourself of fear. And you don't have to be religious or spiritual to do this, but this can be a practice of keeping yourself back in alignment, moving yourself back towards that alignment with light and source and God. Think about that. Think about if that was as easy as it is. That in naturally dealing with your fear, and naturally expressing it as a desire that you want to occur in your life, that you stand for in your life, and that feeling aligns in your body, and you can feel it. You have an actual knowing through the opening and the expression. you're automatically getting back in alignment with your source energy as to what you are to be doing. And the natural byproduct of that is feeling calm and centered and powerful in your body, having expressed what you truly desire to have. And this doesn't have to be big, huge desires. As you begin to use this more and more in your life, what you'll find is that the little fears that show up, like I'm afraid of being late to work, I'm afraid my parent-teacher conference with my kids is not going to go well, you will automatically begin flipping them around. Oh, there it is. I can feel that fear inside my body. What I really want is this teacher conference, parent conference to go well. What I really want is to be in alignment with the teacher in my student, in my child's life so that we can work together to create an amazing child. What I really want is to be on time to work or to have it not matter if I am late. And as we begin to express, we move from the reactive state of being that most of us are living in into the creative state of being. Because if you look at it, I'm in reaction. Oh, I don't want to be late to work. I don't want to be late to work. What am I going to do? To, I want to be on time. And if I'm not on time, I want nobody to be affected by it. You're then beginning to express what your desire is and create. You can do this with your partner. In your relationships, you have a fear they're not going to accept you in a certain way, or they're not going to, you know, be there for you when you need them to be there for you. So you express, I want them to accept that this is a part of me. I want them to be easy with the way that I am in my life. Okay, you just start creating. I feel as if everybody talks about this big paradigm shift, you know, that we're in. And I really do hope that there is a paradigm shift happening because we need some differences on this planet. We need a big shift. And this is the thing. I've been looking around. I'm thinking, what paradigm shift do we need to make that would make the biggest difference? And everywhere I look, I keep coming up with the same answer. We need to move from a reactive state of being into a creative state of being. If you look around, that's really what appears to be the most important shift. Most of the wars, the anger, the upset, the power struggles, all of that seems to be coming from a reactive state of being. There's no creativity in it. When you look at the war in Iraq, for example, do you see anything that they're creatively doing or bringing forward? Not really. Even our sustainability movement, most of it's in reaction. We've got some really exciting things that are happening that are on the creative front. I was just on TED.com today, you know, because you know that's one of my favorite websites out there, TED.com, which is an incredible organization. Check it out. And I was listening to Alex Steffen, who's the founder of worldchanging.com, and he was talking about inspired ideas for a sustainable future, and they are working with biomimicry. And in their biomimicry, they have discovered a hydro-generating algae for energy. Hydro energy being generated by an algae that they're able to harness. Wow. Now that's a creative step, in my opinion, towards our sustainability movement. But if you look around, most of the recycling, most of the talks that people are having is in reaction to the problems, not in a creative solution to what we do desire to have instead. In our lives, we have this same kind of thing going on. Most of us are simply in reaction to our lives. Instead of being creative. So this is one way that we could possibly start moving into a creative way of being. And most of us don't feel good with the fear that we feel. So try this exercise. Let me know what you think. There is a great way that you can go ahead and express yourself to me. If you want to go to internalguidancesystem.com, you'll find in the upper right-hand corner is a little link that says Ask Zen. And that takes you to a little page where you can tell me what you think, tell me how the exercise worked for you, express yourself, ask questions that you would like for me to go over in the show today. Or next week, actually. I'm not checking. I don't check that particular email source while I'm online at the show. But I do check it all week long and attempt to answer questions. And I pick two. I'll be picking one or two questions that I'll be utilizing here and talking to you about. And I'll let you know. I'll email you if your question is going to be on the show. Now, my call-in number, if you'd like to call in, is 646-378-1741. That's 646-378-1741. You just go ahead and call in if you have any questions. And I'll pick up. In the meantime, while we're waiting for someone to call, what I'm thinking is I would like to go over one of the questions that we have that's come in this week. And it is from a woman by the name of Hillary. So, Hillary, I really want to thank you for writing in. It's a great question. And here we go. The question is this. My ego or negative self-talk stops me from moving in the direction of my desires. It causes me to stay stuck or running around in circles. How do I bust out of this loop and start manifesting my life's purpose joyfully and easily? Well, negative self-talk is closing. It can be opening to your internal guidance system, this expansion and contraction that I'm talking about, but more often than not, it's closing. And so it takes a bit of diligence and retraining to focus your thoughts on what opens you. And negative self-talk, as we get going, since most of the time that is something that's filled our minds for our entire lives. We've learned it when we were very young, and from that place, we are consistently working towards beating ourselves up, and, you know, our minds are checking us on our ego and telling us what's right and wrong, and all of that is true. So it takes actually a focus, first of all, on recognizing when you are in your negative self-talk. We go unconscious very quickly, and so we could have, 3-4 hours of negative self-talk before we even recognize that that's where we're at. So it's about being conscious with that, what it exists. And then it is listening to the negative self-talk and seeing if it opens you or closes you. Now, this is the interesting thing about the internal guidance system that each and every one has. This is not something that needs to be developed or turned on. It's a natural part of who you are. You've had it since you were born. It's just that we haven't set about teaching the distinctions of how this expansion and contraction feeling works. Now, I want to once again just remind you that this expansion feels like a lightening and opening, a relaxing and easing in the chest between in the stomach area. And the contraction feels like stress, worry, fear, anxiety. So if you're feeling either of those things, you are in the midst of the expansion and contraction of the IGS. Now, not all what you would consider to be negative self-talk will close you. If you have an honest-to-God issue that's occurring, like you're being too needy or you're being deceptive, you're not being honest with yourself, you'll find that if that's the truth and those thoughts are in alignment with your divine purpose to be thinking so that you can do something about them, you'll feel an expansion or an ease in your body. There's a sense of knowing that that's true about yourself. Now, oftentimes when that occurs, we'll jump right on making it wrong, making it bad, and we'll close again. But you can actually quietly sit and say, is this something I need to work on? You'll just think about working on an issue that you're facing in this negative self-talk and see if you open or close. So I'm going to assume, because I don't have any other way to get to you, Hillary, I'm going to assume that this negative self-talk is closing you. Okay? Let me give you one more example before we go off and talk a little bit about how to shift it. But let's say the negative self-talk is something around, I'm not disciplined enough, I'm not rigorous enough in getting up and doing what I need to do in the morning to take care of myself. Now, if that's the case, then if that's true and you need to be getting up early to take care of yourself in the morning, you will feel a lightning opening expression. You'll feel a sureness in the chest area, like a, that's what I need to do, yes. Now, if you're just being hard on yourself and expecting more of yourself, and what you actually need to do is relax in the morning and sleep as you need to sleep and not push yourself so hard, because you're pushing yourself in every area of your life already, your internal guidance system will close at that, because it's truly guiding you to what it feels is the best solution for you. Now, interestingly enough, this expression that you're in of negative self-talk, there's something that you're getting from it, or something that it gave you in your past that you needed. The mind doesn't generate things just for the sake of generating things. You know what I mean? Somewhere in your history, that negative self-talk served you. Somewhere in your history, that negative self-talk supported you, even if it was only for a day or a week or a year that was there. And now it's become a habit that's now hindering you. So look at the core of what the negative self-talk is about and bringing you. Maybe it's bringing you more discipline in your life. Maybe it's bringing you not being so loud or attention grabbing when you're in public with others. It's kind of correcting you, and so that you don't have that over, you know, zealous part of yourself getting out when it's not intended to, or, you know, those kinds of things, right? And recognize it and say, I thank you. And then start looking at what it is that you really do want. Look at the negative self-talk as a pointer to what you do want. Oh, you can't do that. That's not appropriate. That's not something that you should be thinking about. You don't have the money for that. You don't have the skill sets for that. You're never going to get ahead. They don't even really like you. Here's some negative self-talk, right? Listen to it and go, okay, what I want is to be liked. I want people to enjoy my company. I want to be able to do things in my life that I enjoy. I desire to be able to do the things in my life that I enjoy. I desire to be able to stand up and speak at the meeting and feel confident that my ideas will be received. It's actually a lot simpler than you think once you start focusing your attention on what you desire. You'd be amazed at how quickly opportunities begin to open up. Have you ever noticed in your life when you get interested in something, you get really excited and interested about something, and you've never heard of it before, maybe it's a new hobby or a book, all of a sudden, you know, opportunities to learn more about that subject start coming your way. You're in the doctor's office and you read, all of a sudden there's a magazine article about the thing, or a friend of yours brings it up, or there's a television, you know, show that comes on that's, you're talking about that exact thing, or then your friend gets in, you know, you get an invite to do that thing. You look around, you're like, wow, this one thing that I've been thinking about wanting to do is showing up every time I turn around. It's in the fact that you start putting your attention on something. Now, that can happen the opposite way too. That can start to show up, believe it or not, can start to show up with you being unable to do things because your focus is going on how you can't, how people don't like you, how you don't communicate well. It can go on and on and on. Wherever you put your focus, energy flows where attention goes. You can very much draw things to you. I put your focus on them. And that's exactly what happens with the negative self-talk. And I wish that it could be easy, but really, it's like retraining your mind. It's really what it is. You have a habitual piece of software that's running that has a conversation with you over and over and over again in the exact same kind of way. And somewhere along the line, that conversation worked, and it doesn't work anymore, and it's actually hindering you. And so you need to retrain the mind to have a different conversation about you and about your life. And it literally takes repetition and diligence. And you'll know you're on the right track, because when you start to make or have thoughts that are in alignment with what image for yourself is going to get you to where you want, you'll start to feel an ease in your body. But nobody can determine the truth and authenticity of your thoughts but you. That makes sense? Nobody can determine the truth and authenticity of something but you. So that means, to be quite frank, that you're going to have to be your own guide on what's working in your mind and what's not. And if you feel that closing sensation, it's going to be up to you to say, wait a minute, to call yourself on the thoughts that aren't in alignment. If you feel the anxiety and the stress and the worry, which are very addicting, we've literally become addicted to the closing. So as amazing as that would sound, how can we possibly become addicted to something that's so uncomfortable and unhappy at bringing us such unhappiness in our lives? But the truth of the matter is, we have become addicted to stress and anxiety. I myself can tell you that I get myself on a roll. Well, what if this happens and what if that happens? And oh my gosh, and I can feel it in my body, and yet I don't call myself on it. I don't stop it. I keep engaging in the thoughts. Not always. I'm getting better. I'm working on it. But the truth of the matter is, I still do it, and I know what it means. Or I'll start worrying about somebody thinking something, and I can feel that my body's closing. And even though my body's closing, I'll continue on the train of thought. I won't call myself on it. Okay, I'm closed. That means these thoughts are not in alignment. They're not true. They're not getting me what I want, what I desire to have occur in my life. Okay, I'm going to switch my mind into something else. Now, eventually, I'll get there, and I find themes. Money can be one of them, where I'll get myself rolling on the financial jag of I'm not saving enough, I'm not doing this, I want to be able, how am I going to find the money for that? And I'll get on a jag, and I will feel myself physically being closed at all the lack conversation that's going on, which means I am not creating what I desire, I am not in alignment with where I intend to go, and these thoughts are not even true. I'm concerning my focus, my energetic focus in my life with something that's not truth. And sometimes I call myself on it, and I switch my thoughts, and I begin to think thoughts that open me. How do you think thoughts that open you? But generally, the best thing that I find is our mind is so opposite of what we really are to be focused on. I first try the exact opposite. I'm going to have enough money to do that. I'm moving forward in my savings plan to have my savings be exactly as I want it to be. I am capable of bringing forward the finances. The opportunities haven't arose yet, but they're coming. I am going to make it. It is going to be fine. And if it opens me, I know it's true, and I stay there and I dwell on those. So that's why this fear exercise that I brought forward to me is so important. Fear is very constricting and closing unless the fear that you're worried about is true. Now let's talk about that for a minute too. Let's say that you have a fear and you're not getting anxiety or closing. That can be an interesting thing where you actually, when you think about this fear occurring, let's say it's you have a fear that your relationship is going to end, a relationship that you really care about. And when you think about that, you feel this very calm, collected sense inside of yourself. That would be the opening of the IGS, which would mean that that thought is in alignment. It is truth. It is part of your divine purpose to be thinking. This relationship is coming to an end. The interesting thing is that when you actually allow yourself to express that fear, instead of just being worried of the consequences of being alone, you know, those are things that will probably close you. Consequences of being alone and that you're not going to make it or you're never going to find somebody else or everybody's going to be wondering why the relationship ended and what you did wrong or, you know, here's some of the stuff, the talk that goes on in our minds. But if you just isolate and you have that one, this relationship's going to end and you open, the interesting thing about the opening is no matter what the thought is that opens you, even if it seems like it would be the worst thought in your world to have. The actual expansion of energy in your body somehow gives you the strength and courage to not only handle it, but to be action-oriented, effective, and creative in the understanding of that truth. It's been quite amazing for clients that I work with to get to some of their deepest fears and discover that those fears are truth. Wow. You mean this thing that I'm really afraid of is actually what I'm going to be leaving my job. I'm afraid of leaving my job because I have all these financial responsibilities, but when I think about the fact that I need to leave and go find another position to be in, I open. And that scared me in the past because I don't know what else I'm going to do without this job. Okay, well, let's look at what that feels like. Do you feel collapsed? Do you feel disempowered? Do you feel it? No, I feel sure that this is the course of action and somehow it feels very safe and that everything's going to be okay. And even though I don't know how, when I go into things not being okay, I immediately close. So that means that those thoughts are not true and not in alignment. So don't have the thoughts that not everything's going to be okay. Just hold the thought there's something new on the horizon. How does that feel? Really solid. The world is consistently changing. And our ability to stay empowered in the change lies inside of our bodies and the connection that we're holding with what our thoughts are focused upon. And I don't know about you, but I have some pretty crazy thoughts that go through my mind. Some things that are pretty powerful that can generate a lot of fear if I buy into it. And this little tool, this little system, I call it, inside our bodies, our IGS, is helping me to focus this insane mind of mine into the forward, helping me to navigate change in the world around me and within my own being. So I'd like to encourage you to experience the refreshing reality of relieving yourself of your fear. It's important that you write the exercise down. There's something about writing it out, and then generally how I do it is I put my fears on one side of the page with a line down the middle, and I write them all the way down to where I've got the base of the fear, the biggest fear. There's nothing worse than that. Turning it around, going right back up the page of stating what you desire instead of that fear happening, and watching it literally release as you get to the top. And there's also a total sense of empowerment around knowing what your priorities are, knowing what your deepest heart's desire is. And once you've practiced this for yourself, you actually are retraining your mind to begin to present the world from this place as you feel fear, turning it around to what you desire. And over time, what ends up happening is the reactive energy that comes through with like, oh, I'm afraid of that happening, or oh, that's happening, this reaction becomes a trigger, letting you know it's time for you to be creative and express the desire that you're having in the moment. It can invade pleasurably all of your relationships and all of your experiences. Now, I think we're having issues with the phone line again because I have someone who's on chat here that is letting me know that their phone is working, that they are calling in and they're there, but the switchboard that I'm in is not actually showing up that I have any callers. So we do have callers and so forth. Whoever is on the line wanting to be a part of the show today, I really apologize that we are not able to take phone calls. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to close out the switchboard and I'm going to log out of, that doesn't mean I'm going to lose you guys, but I'm going to actually log out of Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to log back in here for a second, and I'm going to invite you to call again. If you don't mind. And we're going to see if we can get this calling up and running here. Thank you. If you would just give me a second. Thank you for your patience. We had some people in our chat room, and our chat room froze. So all of you who are in there, I wanted to thank you for discussing the show and my performance today. So I was talking about how easily I am able to speak and keep things going. And also, I want to thank everybody who signed up recently to be my friend on Blog Talk Radio and the people who are getting the podcast of this, who's actually taken the time and has the desire to be getting these radio programs regularly. I am really grateful for you for signing up for our show today. Okay, so we're back logged in. I'm opening up the switchboard again, so if you want to go ahead and call, that would be great. The number is 646-378-1741. Let's see if we can go ahead and have this work today and see if we can make it work. Okay. I'm waiting, and I'll see if you could try the chat room with me. That'd be great. I appreciate your patience because this is only my third show. I haven't had the opportunity to do this very often, so I just want to say thank you for the patience on this technical issue. Okay. So in the meantime, what I'd love to talk to you about, in case I can't get this working, I'll go ahead and spend the next few minutes here talking about one of my favorite organizations. And one of my favorite people on the planet, too. I'd like to talk to you a little bit today about an organization that's called the Pachamama Alliance. It's P-A-C-H-A-M-A-M-A. You can check out pachamama.org to find the Pachamama Alliance. This is an incredible organization. Talk about an opening perspective. And it was started by Lynn and Bill Twist. Lynn and Bill Twist started the organization about 9 years ago, and what it is it's a rainforest network that is engaged in saving the rainforest in a very large plot of land in the millions of acres down in Ecuador. Lynn got a call, and I don't mean a call, so to speak, like on the phone. I mean a call in her dream world from a group of men that were wearing these feathered headbands on their head. And she kept having these dreams, and then they began having them in the daytime, these daydreams of seeing these people. So she contacted a friend of hers, John Perkins, who had been working with shamans in the rainforest, and described the head dresses that these men were wearing. And John said to her, "Oh my gosh, that is the Achuar. The Achuar Indians down in Ecuador and Peru." She said, "Well, I feel the need that I need to go down there and connect with them, because if I don't, they're not going to leave me alone," basically. So off they go down into the rainforest to a rainforest lodge that's called the Kapawi Lodge, which was set up as a sustainable development that could be created and then taken back by the indigenous people to run to help them create an economy for themselves, a separate project. And Lynn walked into the jungle and went down into the jungle, and out of the jungle walked these elders who had been calling her forward, because what they said was, they had been having dreams as a tribe. The Achuar are a dream tribe, and I can talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But the Achuar were having dreams that oil was coming to their territory, and if they didn't do something about it, that their lives were going to be destroyed as they knew it. But not only that, they wanted to let Lynn know that if their lives were destroyed, that they were also receiving that the rest of the planetary stability would be destroyed as well, that we are intricately linked. So Lynn came home and started an organization called the Pachamama Alliance. I'm going to say the website again. It's P-A-C-H-A-M-A-M-A, Pachamama. It means earth. Pachamama means Mother Earth. That's the word. This is an unusual organization, and the reason why it's an unusual organization is because she didn't go down there utilizing Western knowledge and technology from the North to save them. What they did instead was they educated, the Achuar had a desire to understand the way that the systems worked in the governments of Ecuador so that they could represent themselves and represent their cause and the reason why they feel so powerfully about the rainforest and their land and what that land holds. So they went in and they explained to the Achuar and educated them on how counties work and how government seats work and how having charters work and laws and regulations and voting and being able to unite the community and how people have to show up for these things. And they got them representation in the government of Ecuador. And they, to date, have kept the oil out of that land. The Achuar have organized, and they've organized so well that they organized the indigenous people throughout all of Ecuador. And the indigenous people have gone through several elections in this time period, with presidents in Ecuador being elected on the indigenous vote, and then going against the indigenous people, using the indigenous people to get into office, and then going against the indigenous people once they're in office with the choices they're making. It can sound kind of familiar for some of us. And they went ahead and they learned how to oust the president that wasn't working. And they would put a new one in office. And they finally now have a president in Ecuador that is in alignment with their concerns. And this president, beautifully enough, has decided to rewrite the Constitution. And Lynn and Bill Twist are in Ecuador this year, rewriting the Constitution of Ecuador to include the rainforest and the earth as having rights under the Constitution of Ecuador. They're also doing work. They have these amazing symposiums because the Achuar people stated, if you're here to save us, do not. Because we desire for you to save yourself. A dream of the North of consumption cannot be sustained. And we need you to change the dream of the North. If you want to help us more than any way, then what we need is for you to help yourself. So, Lynn and Bill start an organization up here, which is called Changing the Dreamer, Awakening the Dreamer, Changing the Dream. And they have these beautiful symposiums. I highly recommend you go to one. They're incredibly inspiring, and the people that are attracted to these symposiums are really wonderful people to know. And the mission of Awakening the Dreamer and Changing the Dream is to bring forth an environmentally sustainable, socially just, spiritually fulfilled human presence on our planet as the guiding principle of our time. I'm going to say that one again because I just find it to be so beautiful. It's become one of my mission statements for my own personal life. The mission of Awakening the Dreamer, Changing the Dream, is to bring forth an environmentally sustainable, socially just, spiritually fulfilled human presence on the planet as the guiding principle of our time. If you think about all of the ways in which having that as a guiding principle within our governments, within our corporations, within our families, I mean, just running your own family unit, running our education, all of our preschool to through the university. Could you imagine what it would be like if those three elements, environmental sustainability, social justice, and spiritual fulfillment, were the focus of, they had to be included in everything that we're doing in order for it to be a valid and valuable organization or idea to be brought forth? What a shift in the consciousness to just have that included in the conversation. So globally, Awakening the Dreamer, Changing the Dream symposiums are happening all over the planet. You can find out about them and go check them out. And they're educating people in this four-hour seminar so that they can carry this into the work, their workplace, into their organizations. And the support that's growing is amazing. The impact that this is having, the uniting that is occurring. We talked a little bit about Paul Hawkins' book in the last radio program, which is called Blessed Unrest, and how Paul Hawkins sees this underground movement occurring where nonprofits and small organizations are starting in the millions, like the white blood vessels, the immune system of the earth, and the immune system inside of humanity is kicking in, and everybody's uniting and beginning to create specific organizations to handle different parts of the puzzle that we're in. And we're finding that there are organizations like the Pachamama Alliance who are doing it really well, who are succeeding in extraordinary ways, and how they're exceeding their own expectations of what's possible from the desire that's welling up within them and being moved forward onto the planet. It's an organization that lives by this desire that opens you and expands you concept. So if you'd like to, I invite you to go to Awakening the Dream or Changing the Dream. Go to a symposium and see what it feels like to be involved in an organization who is living by this expression of the body, who is living by this expression of desires that open, who has immense amounts of hope, who sees solutions occurring that we can relate to and rely on. So I really promise that I am going to get on this telephone call thing and find out what it is that's occurring so that next week we can finally take phone calls. I thought we had it worked out this week. I had a partner online here who was chatting with me in an additional chat room that I had going on about the technical issues, and there seems to be some big problem happening there with even that chat room. So I'm going to get on that because I really do want to talk to you. I would love to have questions come in so that I can help clarify this and really work on your own personal issues that are arriving and arising in your life around this work and kind of help to go deeper with this. And I want to thank you so much for coming and being a part of this. I want to say that the music that I play that is at the beginning of each segment and at the end of each segment is done by a gentleman by the name of Gary Malkin. Gary Malkin is a composer. He's got amazing work that he's been doing. He's an Emmy Award-winning composer. He's a supporter and friend of mine and is a very generous soul, shall I say. And you can find out more about him at wisdomoftheworld.com. That's wisdomoftheworld.com. I'm going to sign off. I'll see you next Wednesday at 10 to 11. And I pray that we'll have this phone conversation issue worked out. And I want to thank you for your support. Please tell a friend about the show. If the things that I've talked about today around fear work for you, will you spread the word? It would be a beautiful thing to have people have a practice that will allow them to move from the reactive into the creative and to release the depths of fear that are occurring in their body. And then once again, internalguidancesystem.com, you can check out the experiential video there, and you're also able to click on the Ask Zen link and send me any email, any questions, any concerns that you have, any ideas, any successes. I love to celebrate with you, and I thank you. Namaste. Enjoy your week. May you have many opening perspectives.
Love Talk.